Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You said four, right?
Sounds low.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, Jim Potts back on the air with his favorite son, Jamal. Well, he's not my favorite. I got two others, but I thought I'd pump him up today on the air. Anyway, hey, thanks as always for joining us on your Sunday evening or your Sunday afternoons, whatever the case may be. Well, Jamal, we got a lot to talk about today. What do you think?
Yes, sir. I got a whole lot to touch on.
Well, today, everybody, is what we're going to do. We're going to be talking about this business about the rules of survival when you encounter police officers out there. So there's been some requests about some information about that. So we're going to be discussing that today. And then also we're going to be talking about the rise of this anti-government group called Boogaloo, if you can believe that. Boogaloo, yes, you heard me correctly. And then it's just another one of those movements is out there tonight that's blasting onto the scene, and we need you to be aware of it. And then we're going to be talking about the impact of the coronavirus on the borders, because obviously there's a lot of issues out there right now with this business about the coronavirus. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that as well. Okay, let's get started. Jamal,
yes,
did
sir.
You hear about what happened in At the Molson Brewery Company?
No, what happened this week?
Yeah, they had a shooting. It was an active shooter situation. They had six people dead, including the shooter.
I did hear about that. I take that back. I did hear about that.
Right, and it's another one of those situations where, once again, we're talking about the disgruntled employee who apparently took his life. He's 51 years old, took his own life, and killed five other people and injured others. And it had to do with the fact that I guess he and some co-workers did not get along. And this is the point that we make when we're doing all of our active shooter training.
Right.
About disgruntled current employees. And I always tell these people in these meetings that, you know, in these training sessions that, you know, this is really all about people getting upset with co-workers. And that's why we try to get co-workers to understand these days, hey, you guys, take a deep breath and walk away. If there's some issue with a co-worker, you know, forget it. Move on. I mean, Jamal, how many calls do we get in the course of a week where people can't get along?
Oh, we get a lot. And it gets ridiculous and out of hand. And it's over the smallest stuff. Most of 9 out of 10 times it's over something very small and very petty that gets blown out of proportion.
And that part is true. People making little, you know, mountains out of molehills. And some of the stuff is just so ridiculous. And we try to get across to people in these days with violence in the workplace, even before all of this started coming up like this, about trying to get along, respect each other.
Right.
You know, but there's some people that can't overcome these things. And, you know, when we talk about the active shooter training that we provide, you know, one of the things we talk about is 49% of the businesses, you know, incidents has to do with what? The business.
Right.
Before I forget, if anybody wants to call in, if you got any questions, et cetera, give us a call at 818-602-4929. Or you can look it up on the website. Just go right to the website, and the telephone number is there as well. It's probably the easiest way for you to remember that. And also, we're streaming live. So if you want to actually go to the website, just click on the Facebook link there, and you'll see us live, okay? So I believe it's just that simple. I've never had to do it myself. And you can always email us at listenup@pottsandassociates.com. So go to LA Talk Radio. All right, look for the the Facebook page and just click on it, and you'll see us and our bright, happy faces. Okay?
Hey.
What, were you going to say something?
Are we doing shout-outs today?
Yeah, we always do shout-outs.
Okay.
Who you want to do a shout out to?
I want to give a special shout out, man, to Mad Mike Hughes this week.
Okay.
You know who Mad Mike Hughes is?
No, Jamal. Fill me in.
Mad Mike Hughes is the guy that built his own rocket ship to prove that the world
I do
was
know
flat.
Who that is. I'm sorry. Right.
And he passed away. He died tragic. He died tragically, you know, trying to prove that the world was flat. Listen, I don't think the world is flat at all, but I admire his effort.
Okay, wait a minute. I didn't know that part. I know he went up in a rocket.
Yeah, his whole goal was to prove that the earth was flat. He was one of those flat earthers. So he built this rocket on the back of a pickup truck, a steam rocket that launched him into the air. I think it was 5,000 feet or something. And the last time he did it, he didn't make it to where he wanted to, but he came down at least safely. His parachute opened up, but he fractured some ribs.
So what you're telling me is that he wanted a higher view of the Earth so he could see where it's more flat.
Right.
Did he ever think about just buying an airplane ticket and doing it that way?
Well, he was trying to reach the firmament. If you know what the firmament is, that they feel like we live in a glass dome. And he was trying to reach the top of the firmament. I think that's what they call it. Am I saying it right?
Okay.
To, you know, listen. Like I said, I don't believe that the earth is flat, but I mean, he put his butt on the line to try to prove his theory.
Well, he did do that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And everything else that goes along with it. Well, at any rate, yes, okay, the shout out is fine, Jamal. I have no problem with that, son. So,
well, it's done now.
Rest in peace, I guess is what we could say. But the other thing is that the shout out also goes to the families and the victims at the brewery shooting as well. So we don't want to overlook that. And not to mention the employees, because one of the things that we always talk about also is that the impact of these things is not just on the families.
Right.
There's friends, you know, you get to work with these people. This gentleman worked there for a number of years. The other people worked there for a number of years. So it really reaches out even further than that.
Yeah.
And let's not leave out the community.
Absolutely, because it changes everything.
That's
for that community, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, at any rate, there's our shout-outs for today. And anybody's confused out there, it's been confirmed the world is round and not flat. I thought I'd make that comment as well.
Appreciate it.
Okay, Jamal, let's get into these emails real quick.
Sir.
So, Jim, have you heard that ICE was boarding Greyhound buses and taking off illegal immigrants? There is an organization called FIRE that's fighting against that now, and apparently it's telling their drivers not to let ICE on the bus. Can they legally do that? ICE is part of the federal government. Joe from South Bend, Indiana. Look, here's the deal, Joe. We say, can they legally do that? In my opinion, they can't. But let's just get some things clarified here. This organization, first of all, there's been demonstrations at the Greyhound bus stops, et cetera, regarding this business about ICE being able to get on the buses. And these are buses, by the way, Jamal, that are along the border, okay? So
right.
It's not like you're going to find this in the middle of the nation. So that's
right.
Not what we're talking about here. So basically what was going on was that ICE was getting on some of these Greyhound buses that are close to the border because people were coming over illegally and then literally taking a bus ride to wherever they wanted to go.
Right.
So there was all these demonstrations. There was in Houston, Philadelphia, even though Philadelphia is not a border state to speak of. Some of these other ones, California, obviously. So they were having these demonstrations because Greyhound Bus Company was cooperating with ICE.
Right.
So they started getting upset. They said, you know, buses are for transportation and not deportation. So as usual, you know, we live in a country where people can actually speak their minds. And that's a good thing. I don't disagree with that. But at any rate, so I want to say it started getting out of hand to the point where now, I guess Greyhound has come out and said that they're no longer going to let ICE go on their buses. Now, here's the problem from what I see. All right. Now, Greyhound's coming out with this to support all these demonstrations. They probably want to get rid of the demonstrations. But ICE is a federal agency.
Right.
And it's the law enforcement agency.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out what the expectation is here. I mean, are the bus drivers, if they see ICE going to do what? You can't come on my bus?
Right.
I don't know how that they're going to be able to enforce that.
I don't see that either. But, you know, here's the bigger picture, man. You know, I'm all for immigrants. Let me say that. I'm all for immigrants. But there's nothing wrong with our law enforcement and government finding out who's getting on these buses. You know what I mean? Now we got issues like the coronavirus coming in. You know what I mean? Also, in the past, they found they found people who were going to commit terrorist acts.
Oh yeah,
blending in with the Hispanic community, and you know, trying to sneak across the border any way they can. So I think it's very important. People got to see both sides of the picture. You got to find out who's coming over here because everybody don't mean us well.
Well, that's exactly right. So when you ask Joe about this issue and can they do that, I want to say that, first of all, can Greyhound do that? Greyhound can say and do what they want, But in the same token, I look at it like it's law enforcement. So are these bus drivers going to refuse to open their door? What are they going to do, speed off? I mean, you know, and they're saying that they need a warrant. But I don't know. A warrant has to be very, very specific. So, Jamal, from the standpoint in the law of law enforcement, when there's going to be a search, okay, search warrants have to be very specific. You've got to go to a judge. You've got to tell the judge with specificity. This is what it's going to be. They got to tell them the bus number, you know, and everything.
Right.
You know, and that might not be that easy to be able to do that.
But I don't understand why a company wouldn't want to cooperate when it comes to the safety.
They were. They were cooperating, but that wasn't what happened. The demonstrations, I think, got out of hand for them, and they came out and said that they're not going to cooperate. Now, look, there's a difference between also between California, you know, saying what they're going to do and not do, and someplace in the Midwest, as an example.
Right.
You know, so, you know, California's against ICE, whatever. No matter what ICE does, they're against it. So,
right.
You know, so from that perspective. But this organization out there that's fighting some of this is called FIRE, F-I-R-E. And just to let the listeners know, that means Fight for Immigrants and Refugees Everywhere is what that stands for. So there's another new organization that's emerging, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, right. Everybody's got a bandwagon to jump on, and this is just another one that's going to be out there. So
you're not a real group unless you have an acronym, right?
That's it. That's exactly right. I didn't think about it that way, but that's true. That's true. So, Joe, you ask, can they do that? The realities are, I say that they can't do it. I would think ICE is going to ignore that, but we'll just wait and see what happens. But I think Greyhound probably was reacting to the pressure that they were getting from all these different protesters, you know, at the time. So we'll just wait and see what happens. I don't think personally there's anything wrong with that. You know, if they're looking for illegals, they're looking for illegals, and we go from there. Okay, next email. Jim, we hear a lot on the news about the Department of Justice and the FBI. Exactly what is the difference? Just wanted to hear your version. Jack from Medford, Oregon. Well, Jack, like, you know, look, and it's true. I do hear on the news, you know, they talk about the Department of Justice. They talk about the FBI. They talk about all these different agencies.
That's a good question.
You know, it is a good question. So how do all these things fit together, you know, for this puzzle of law enforcement that's out there? So, Jack, I can appreciate that question. So let's just go through some things just to make sure. First of all, let's talk about the Department of Justice, because everybody needs to understand that as well. And I wanted to be correct on it. So, look, it's just to let you know, it's normally called the DOJ. And the DOJ means the Department of Justice. Now, it's a federal agency within the executive branch of the government responsible for the supervision of all subdivisions, agencies, and departments existing under the United States Department of Justice. Amongst the most primary objectives of the Department of Justice include the regulation and administration of legal activity, statutory legislation, and lawful behavior with regard to federal government. The United States Department of Justice not only serves to ensure that the federal government acts in accordance with the law, which includes all branches of the federal government. So, who are we talking about? Let's talk about their role. The Department of Justice undertakes all matters of criminal activity existing on a national level. So think about that, Jack, on a national level. It's not talking about the local police stations. On a national level is what we're talking about. So the following federal agencies and departments are among the 59 total that exist under the jurisdiction of the United States Department of Justice. So we've got the Bureau of Justice of Statistics, we've got the FBI, the National Security Department, and the Office of Information Policy, and the United States Marshals Service. So notice the FBI is under the Department of Justice. So therefore, when you're speaking about the Department of Justice, the FBI, Jack, is only an agency under that. So it's overseen by the DOJ. All right. Now, it can get very complicated, I understand, on the news about how all that fits together.
Right.
But that's basically what it is. So when we talk about the executive branch of government, just remember there's three branches to the government. This is just one of them. All right. So when you hear about the Attorney General's office and all of that, hey, you know what? All this controversy, as a matter of fact, about the Department of Justice and you know, how unfair it may be, or, you know, Barr is the Attorney General. You got to understand, it's very wide, okay? There's a very wide spectrum to that. So I want to explain also about the Attorney General and the Department of Justice. So the Office of Attorney General of the United States is a federal position currently undertaken by Attorney General Barr. All right. So they're responsible for the legal advocacy and the representation on behalf of the collective citizenship of the United States. So the Attorney General of the United States is considered to be amongst the most primary administrators responsible for the preservation and protection of statutory legislation. So that's why you hear all of this now with Attorney General Barr with some of these things that they're coming out with that they're doing some of these investigations on.
Right.
Because they've got to protect the laws that are out there. So it's a different spectrum. Okay. So anyway, Jack, getting back to what you're asking, that's what the difference is. So the FBI actually comes under the Department of Justice. All right. There's so many other agencies that are out there. Like we were talking about ICE earlier. ICE is not coming under the Department of Justice per se. It's going to come under a whole different, under Homeland Security, the Department of Homeland Security. So that's different. All right. So we're talking about two different agencies out here. Okay. So it can get very confusing. I get it. The reality is that we need to cooperate with the DOJ and we need to cooperate with the Department of Homeland Security. All of these different agencies are out there for our protection.
Right.
And, you know, we get all of this pushback, you know, and these protests. And, I don't want to get into who's right and who's wrong, politically speaking, and all of those kind of good things. But, you know, we've talked about it before that we have a system of justice. And, you know, it may not be the most perfect system. I understand that sometimes things fall between the gaps, you know, so to speak, and people get, you know, sent away when they probably shouldn't have been sent away. But the realities are some of those mistakes, Jamal, are being made on a smaller level, not the higher level.
Right.
And that's not what they normally, what they think about. But, you know, I still feel personally this is the best system out there. So
I think if everybody realized that both sides have a common goal, if y'all just talk and meet in the middle constantly, we can get some things resolved. But nobody wants to give.
You know what? The other thing is that, you know, but some of these criminals out there, when you really think about it, if they would put their energies into more positive things, because some of these criminals out there are very creative.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know, and if some of them would turn around and put their energy into some positives as opposed to the negatives,
right,
who knows where we could go with some of this. So, I don't know. At any rate, that's that. Jack, I hope that answers your question, buddy. All right, next one. Jim, I just wanted to say the information you gave out last week on missing children was great, but I feel you could have gone a bit further on the tips for parents and children. Do you have any further tips? Elizabeth from Phoenix, Arizona. Elizabeth, you know, yeah. Well, first of all, we appreciate that. I mean, we did try to cover a lot of area in a short amount of time that we had. So is what I wanted to do was just take a couple of minutes and at least go through some further tips, because as much as we like to be as thorough as possible, you know, there's things that get overlooked sometimes.
Right.
And, you know, we'll go to it a little bit different. So a little bit more into detail, rather. So, look, we get it, okay? Our kids are very valuable to us. We want to make sure that they're all safe. So, look, let me go through some things very quickly on this, and it'll be on the show, you know, so that you can go back and listen to it. If you don't write anything down right now, just listen to get the heads up about it. And some of these things, I would think the parents are already telling their children or should be telling their children. I mean, you know, some of this is common sense. Now, the first thing is tell your child, never go with anyone unless you come and ask me, or I will tell you ahead of time if you're going with anyone other than me. So that makes sense.
Right.
Okay, never go with a stranger.
Right.
You know, Jamal, that book that I wrote, Right to Counsel, I'm telling you, what was it? Three of those girls hitchhiking.
Wow.
Getting a ride with a stranger. All of those, except for two of them. Getting a ride with a stranger. I mean, how many times you tell parents don't do this? I mean, you kind of alluded to it last week a little bit.
Right.
The other thing is that what we got to do sometimes is talk to our kids about uncomfortable things. There's times when these kids may feel embarrassed by something, but it's important that they go and talk to their parents. And we got to encourage kids to talk about things that they may feel is uncomfortable to them.
Right.
Because something is happening, something is going on, but they need to go to their parents and talk about it. Now, the other thing is that, you know, some of the research I did in response to this question was talk about tricky people. The idea of strangers can be confusing for some kids, and some unsafe people are, unfortunately, people your kids actually know. See, that's the key.
Right.
they know these some of these people.
Right.
All right? So people they may see on a regular basis. So one way to explain who to watch out for is by talking about tricky people, so to speak. So that, as what it says is that when your child is young, say most people are pretty good, but some people have problems and they're not so good.
Right.
So it's my job to protect you from them. And as the kids get older, they start to mention things that they see about their own safety at some point.
Right.
Okay, but it's the very young ones, which is what we were talking about last week. So the other thing that they outline here is about being specific. Explain to your child some of the uncomfortable things unsafe people may do. So, for instance, they may pay a lot of attention to kids and even give them presents. They may be physical with kids even when kids ask them to stop. Unsafe people may also use inappropriate words to comment on how kids look. And unsafe strangers may ask a child for directions or to help them look for something like a lost dog. Now, see, that's pretty important.
Right.
Because kids will always try to help. Oh, this little puppy is lost. Yeah, right. Come and help me look for my dog.
Right.
Okay? So these are the kind of things that parents should sit down with their children, you know, and ask them and discuss with them up front, you know, before it's too late. The other thing is they have down here is role playing. Make sure your child knows it's okay to say no to people. It doesn't matter if your child knows the person or not. First, talk through what your child could do in situations that involve strangers. Jamal, we talked about that last
week.
You know, I mean, it's even like that movie, what was it, with Bruce Willis. He's a stranger.
Right.
You know, I mean, now that was Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, okay.
Remember Kindergarten Cop? He's a stranger. All the kids start yelling, he's a stranger, he's a stranger. You know,
that was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right. That's exactly right. So, you know, he's a stranger. So those are the things that we have to think about. And if anybody out there has any suggestions on this, by the way, give us a call. We don't have a problem with that.
I think you're absolutely right. People do need to, I mean, have nonstop conversations with their kids, constantly reinforcing those values. They did a news show did a scenario on that. Parents just knew their kids wouldn't talk to strangers and stuff, and they set up a little operation on camera.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, their kids was gone off to the van and everything else.
Even though they had been told not to do it.
Even though they had been told not to. It was on the news, man, and a lot of parents were just horrified. They were at the playground, you know what I mean? And some stranger, oh, I got a lost dog, or hey, you want me to show you something in the van? And the kid just walked from the playground over to this person's car. Now, it was a law enforcement or...
Oh, no, I got that. They were set up like a little sting operation.
Yeah, it was a little sting operation to show, you know, you got to constantly have reinforcement. Don't ever think that your child won't do it because you just never know.
That's right. Now, the last one I want to mention, okay, so we can get into these other areas, is talk about online stranger safety. Here we go with the computers again.
Right.
Because it all comes back to that same thing. People reaching out, people in these different chat rooms, chat groups, and things of that nature. And these kids have a tendency to go to these things. They don't know who's on the other side.
Right.
Okay? And they react to that. And some of these people, they lie. They make believe they're children.
Right.
That they're communicating with another child, and it's not really another child. It's an adult.
Right.
Okay? So they need to look at that. So personal safety extends to your child's digital life. And that's what we have to understand with these times that are changing. And we try to tell parents about these kind of things. Some of these kids are young, have cell phones.
Right.
People will dial cell phone numbers, talk to a person. It's all of that. They've got to understand. They've got to create and instill boundaries, okay, where technology is concerned. All right?
Right.
So, look, you know, Elizabeth, I appreciate the email. I'm glad you enjoyed the other piece of it. I wanted to give some things, you know, some additional things per your email. But let's talk about just a few key takeaways. Talk about personal safety early, often, and clearly. Keep an open dialogue running with your child about safe and unsafe people and situations, role play scenarios with your child, like unwanted attention from strangers, okay? So there's a few things that we were able to cover there today very quickly, but it is good information. You'll hear me talk a lot about children and safety, so I appreciate the email from Elizabeth. So there's your follow-up, and hopefully that'll take care of that, okay? And good luck everybody out there with this business of child safety. Okay, Jamal, let's talk about this other business that we've been wanting to do actually for a couple of weeks now. I haven't gotten to it. And it talks about the fact that, look, we get these emails from people regarding the interaction between police officers. Now, again, you guys know I'm an ex-cop. You know, I talk about, you know, police officer safety. I try to help, hopefully, mend some of the fences between the general thinking out there about police officers because they do bring a valuable responsibility to the neighborhoods. But we get these inquiries about people interacting with police officers. And there's a lot of different things on the internet about that. So they talked about the rules of survival is stopped by the police. I mean, this is information out there. As if these police officers are Gestapo type of people, and you got to have these 10 rules and things to remember. I mean, it's a shame that we've gotten to that extent, Jamal.
Right.
You know, in our society, but it's there.
Right.
You know, it's there. So basically, is what we did, you know, with this attitude about get home safely, so to speak. There's some rules out there, some general rules. So let me just go through some of this in general. The first one is be polite and respectful when stopped by the police and keep your mouth closed, supposedly. Okay. Now, look, police officers don't like people wisecracking at them. They're out there trying to do their job. You stop me. Do you have to get your quota? Is that why you stop? I mean, Jamal, right. I can't tell you how many times I get. What, do you got a quota? I never had a quota with the sheriff's department giving out tickets. I never even heard a discussion on that.
Right.
Where they turned around and said, hey, make sure you get your quota. So people do those kind of things. And, you know, some police officers probably get a little irritated about it because that's not what it's all about.
Right.
All right? You violated the law. You violated the law. You ran a stop sign.
Well, let me ask you this. Just, I get that in general, but what about motorcycle cops? I mean, that's their primary job is to...
Okay, so now you're making an assumption, Jamal. Motorcycle cops have a tendency... Some of them like motorcycles, okay? So they do... What you're thinking about is like traffic control, you know, things of that nature. But motorcycles can get in and out of places, you know, quicker where a bigger unit can't. So they don't just operate, Jamal, just on traffic, okay?
Right.
But yes, there are some that their primary responsibility is traffic.
Right.
But that's not to say that they've been told that they have to write certain number of tickets per month.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, I can't speak for every little agency out there, you know, in Podunk, whatever, you know, little city, wherever the heck it is.
Right.
You know.
I'm just asking you because you have more background on it than I do. You know what I mean? But for, like, the inquiring minds, because I'm just thinking, like, what if, like, one particular motorcycle cop don't come in with as many tickets as the rest of them? I mean, it kind of shows
it's not working. Like I told you,
I don't know how
that
works.
I've never heard that. With the 20 years I was with the department.
Fair enough.
Even on arrest.
Right.
I never heard anything about, hey, you need to be out there making more arrests.
Right.
Never heard any of those kind of things. We're not out there looking.
Right.
Okay? But if it's brought to our attention, then we have to do what we have to do.
Right.
All right? So that's what it is. You know, there was a lady one time who I stopped. I was posted up. So here's a situation where I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Nobody's supposed to be running a stop sign. Okay, so I was posted up one time. It was at an intersection, but it wasn't like main intersections, like a main place. Okay, it was actually over there by JPL.
Okay,
and there were four stop signs. Four, where this is,
right?
And it's an out-of-the-way type of place. So I was back then where they couldn't see me.
Right.
And here comes a woman, and she blows the stop sign, and I go, and I pull her over. And I said, ma'am, she goes, do you know why I stopped you? No. I said, well, you ran a stop sign. She goes, really? I didn't see any stop sign back there. I said, ma'am, there's five stop signs there. She goes, no, there's not. There's four. I turned around and said, oh, I thought you didn't know there was a stop sign. So it was like, but there it is because, okay, you know, Jamal, I would have respected her more if she said, yeah, officer, you know what, I blew it.
There's only four intersections.
Yeah, exactly, you know. So of course, when I said, give me, so now she's pissed because I tricked her.
Right.
Okay, but she wasn't pissed at herself for lying or being accountable. Right. She's only mad because I caught her in a lie.
Right.
I wrote that ticket big time. Okay, so look. But
right.
Okay, so when you say, am I out there for traffic per se? Yeah, I'm still doing my job. But it's not like when I get back to the station, hey, Potts, how many tickets did you write today?
Right, right.
At any rate, look, the point of the story is, Jamal, even when I was in the academy, you might remember that when I came home from the academy one day, what did I tell you guys? Be polite to police officers.
Right.
You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Remember that conversation?
Yes.
Because that's just the way it has to be.
Right.
They are the ones in control at that moment, whether you like it or not. So what's wrong with being respectful? Nothing. We better get on to number two.
Okay.
Because I can see this is going to be a long way. We got to go here. He says, okay, remember that your goal is to get home safely. If you feel that your rights have been violated, you and your parents, as an example, you know, have the right to file a formal complaint with your local police jurisdiction or whatever. So this is for younger people.
Right.
You can see what this is lending itself to. Number three, don't under any circumstances get into an argument with the police. Why argue about it? What did I tell you?
Right.
I told you guys to what? Don't worry about it.
Right.
I can always get it straightened out later.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want you guys arguing with the authority when they pull you over.
Or just take the ticket and deal with it in court.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it's there for.
Right.
You know, but some people go to court and they turn around and say, we can't win in court because you get there and the police officer says this and that and this and that. I had one where I wrote a ticket. And this young man was in there, and I felt that he had run the stop sign, and he actually bought, it was an area I wasn't 100% familiar with, so he challenged the ticket. We went to court, and he had some pictures to show the intersection, so where he turned was not all the way up, so it was kind of like yield to the right and go to the right.
Right.
Okay? So it was more of a yield sign, but if you went straight, it's a stop sign.
Right.
So I didn't realize that that's what he had done.
Okay.
So I told the judge, I said, well, you know what? I wrote two tickets that day. I said, to be honest with you, I'll give the young man the benefit of the doubt that what he's saying, he wasn't the other one I wrote the ticket for.
Right.
And it seems like, you know, he's showing where he was that day.
Right.
But here's the key. He never said anything to me that day.
Right.
You know, and I asked him afterwards. You know, he's there with a guardian. I said, you know, if you had said something, but they didn't say anything.
Right.
Because the reality is they weren't going to say anything, just like it says right here.
Right.
You know, because it's like, say what? But honestly, for me, if he had said, look, it's a thing, I wouldn't have given him the ticket.
Right.
But it's that whole negative thing about police officers, that, not totally negative, but don't say anything, take the ticket. He went to court.
Right.
And, hey, I told the judge. The judge looked at me and said, thanks for being honest, officer.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, because I think there was a point where he may have been correct.
Right.
So because I wasn't sure which of the two tickets, why am I going to jam this kid up that's coming into court? The other person never came to court, so they must have been the ones. So I was like that, you know. So at any rate, good look at number four. Always remember that anything you say or do can be used against you in court. Now that tickles me that they're telling him, keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Okay. Can we use that? Look, if it's a traffic violation, come on. What can we use against
traffic
you?
Traffic violation. Right.
You know, you're like, keep your mouth shut. Fifth Amendment. You know.
Right.
You know, you have a right to remain silent. Number five is keep your hands in plain sight and make sure the police can see your hands at all times. What's wrong with that? That makes sense to me.
Right.
Especially these days.
Right.
You know, where some of these police officers are being shot. So I think that's good safety advice.
Right.
Six, avoid physical contact with the police. No sudden movements and keep your hands out of your pockets. If we see somebody with their hands in their pockets, Jamal, we normally tell them, take your hands out of your pocket.
Right.
That's a police safety issue.
Right.
You know, so from that perspective. Number seven, do not run, even if you are afraid of the police. This thing about being afraid of the police, man, it really bothers me because all police officers are not bad.
Right. But some people are legitimately scared. I mean, it's a guy with a gun walking up to you. Like, that can make people nervous, man. And then you see stuff in the
media. It's not a guy walking up to you with a gun. It's a police officer walking up with a gun.
True. But at the same time, you know, you see stuff on the news and the media about, you know, whether it gets blown out of proportion or not. I'm not even going to argue that. You know what I mean? But when you see it on the news and hear about an unarmed.
But those are let's be honest. Those are the situations that are very. What's the percentage of those?
I agree, but when you see it on the news, it's plastered. People don't always remember the good things. You know what I'm saying? The
right.
bad things get planted in people's minds, and it sticks there.
Yeah, I get that. Mean? See, part of that, once again, is my issue with the media. Because the media will blow that up, especially when it's a Caucasian police officer with a black citizen.
Right.
Okay, as an example. That's what they'll do. They'll blow it up.
Right.
All right? They never put on the news about a black police officer that shoots, you know, a white citizen. You don't ever hear about that.
You know what's ironic, man, and this is the truth. I found it
as opposed to a lie?
Exactly. Growing up in the inner city, a lot of times I found that, I hate to say it, but black officers was a little bit hard to deal with than a white officer growing up in the inner city. I don't know why that is. I have no idea.
Maybe it's because of the fact, Jamal, that they see so much with some of these black kids that end up going to jail that they're being harder on them to try to get them back on a straight and narrow.
It could be.
And they don't want them to end up the other way.
It's a rough. You've seen that scene in Boys in the Hood. You know when a black cop pulled
the kid over. I didn't see Boys in the Hood.
Okay, there was a black cop that pulled over Trey, the black kid, and stuff like that, and he was more harder on him than the white cop was. And that's a realistic situation. I've been in that personally, You know what I mean? Where, well, not to that degree. We had a gun pointed at my head or anything like that, but it was just different.
Well, young black men in the neighborhood, Jamal, they're gonna get pulled over. You've been in the neighborhood. You're gonna get pulled over. I get that.
Right.
You know, but you survived it because you kept your mouth shut and did what you were supposed to do.
True.
Okay, that's what makes a difference. All right. Okay, so even if you believe you're innocent, do not resist arrest. That makes sense, all right? Don't resist, all right? These people that end up resisting, they could be right, and then all of a sudden now they got a charge on them because of the fact that they were resisting arrest.
Right.
You can't win in that situation. Go with them and let your parents get it straightened out later, or if need be, your lawyer, whatever the case may be. Number 9, don't make any statements about the incident until you're able to meet with a lawyer or public defender. Okay, now we're talking about criminal law stuff.
Right.
All right? You have a right to remain silent, okay? So that part is true. Number 10, stay calm and remain in control. Watch your words, body language, and emotions. So those are the tips, the general tips that are out there. You know, and again, it's a shame that we have to have these things, and there's people out there that believe in these things, and I get that. But, you know, I want people to understand that the majority of the police, the vast majority of the police officers out there are not out there trying to do harm.
Right.
They're trying to work with citizens. They're trying to do their jobs, et cetera. Cooperation is the best way to do that.
Right.
You know? So these were just the general tips.
I got a different perspective on it.
Why am I not surprised to hear that? What's your different perspective, Jamal?
A different perspective as far as, you know, some tips for minorities, specifically black and Latinos in the community
okay.
who get pulled over by the cops. I think the rules should be a little bit stricter for us because from the standpoint, I don't want to argue what's right or wrong. It's about getting home safe at the end of the day. Make sure you feel
well,
safe.
That includes police
and the
officers.
officer
okay. All
get
right.
home safe.
All right.
So, number 1, be respectful. Don't speak first and don't speak with hostility. Don't let the first thing to come out your mouth as soon as you get pulled over is, "You pulled me over because I'm black." That's not going to set the tone. That's
right.
You off to a bad start already. You
right.
know what I mean? So we don't want to do that. Number 2 is kind of dangerous. Learn your rights. Sometimes when you learn your rights, you think you know more than what you do than what you actually know, and you didn't read the small print, and you get yourself in trouble. So I'm not sure about number 2. I would kind of, you know, learn your rights, but still act civilized.
But I don't think there's anything with them, or actually, Jamal, I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody understanding the rights. Sometimes when you learn your rights, though, I get that part, but that's not the time.
Right, right. There's another time to deal with it, like in court.
Right.
That's when you know your rights and you show that. Not at the time.
Right.
Like, you know, number 3, don't make any sudden moves and keep your hands on the steering wheel. That's a big one. You know what I mean? When that officer walks up to your car, have your hands where he can see you. It's safer for you. It's safer for him and everybody
or
else.
Her.
But Jamal, or her.
But here's the other thing, you know. You asked me the other day about tinted windows. Now, that one right there goes along with what we're talking about. Windows are tinted and things of that nature. Police officers can't see into the
window. That's easy, man. Roll the window down. As soon as you see them, as you being pulled over and you drifting to the right, start rolling down your front windows.
As opposed to not getting your tint. You can still get your tint job. Just roll the window
down. Right.
Yeah, okay.
That way he feels safe.
All right.
Let's see. Ask for permission before you grab and reach for anything. A lot of times we keep our information in our pocket, like our wallet and stuff like that.
Our glove compartment,
you know, for your insurance and registration and things like that. I like to hang mine above the headrest, the visor.
Right.
And I clip it on it there, but my ID is in my wallet. But you let the officer know, like, hey, my wallet's in my left pocket. My insurance is over there. And you know what I mean?
Right.
Is it cool for me to reach for those things? Yes. And then proceed. Keep a valid photo and ID on you at all times. You're supposed to do that anyway by law. You shouldn't be driving if you don't have that. Turn on your interior lights on your cars. Turning on your interior lights. That's another thing I do at night. I turn the lights on, roll the windows down. You know what I mean? Everybody feels comfortable that way.
Yeah, because that's all about officer safety also.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, everybody's safety. Keep your license, registration, insurance in a convenient place. That's what we just talked about.
Right.
You know, the visor, that's what I would advise. Number 8, don't lie to the officer. Now,
I just told you about one of those.
Now, when you say don't lie to the officer, that don't mean you got to criminalize yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't lie to him. You know what I mean? But, you know, Keep everything within reason. Because nobody ever wants to admit that they ran a red light right off the bat unless you blatantly did it.
Jamal, yeah. There are people out there that said, yes, officer, that light was a little pink when I ran it.
And I did that one time and the guy let me go.
See, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, I was on my way to
work. Look, a lot of times the guy, look, if you admit it, hey, you know what? The light turned kind of quick on me. Didn't realize it. Blah, blah, blah.
Actually, I made eye contact with the cop as I was running the red light trying to squeeze in that left turn when it's that long line.
Oh,
and we made eye contact, man. I just pulled over before he got behind me.
Right.
You know why I pulled you over? I said, yes, sir. I ran that red light. I was on my way to work. He said, you know what? For being honest, I'm not going to let you get the ticket.
There it is.
You know what I mean? So that has worked in my favor. Don't give the officer a reason to search your car. Just be cool, calm, give them everything you want. Have your registration, have your valid ID, and all of that kind of stuff.
Let's talk about searches, because searches, people always say, I know my rights. You can't search my car. First of all, officers can always search the car, Jamal, officers, if they think there's a safety issue.
Right.
It also depends why they pulled them over. They pulled them over for, I don't want to use a routine stop as an example.
Right.
But you ran on a red light, I pulled it over. But if you roll the window down, Jamal, and that puff of smoke comes out of there, you follow what I'm saying?
They have a fog machine in here.
A fog machine inside of the car. That's going to suggest, okay, nowadays marijuana is legal, okay? But back
not driving.
Day, you know, it's like, okay, you know, this big puff of smoke comes out of there. And that's probable cause to know something else is going on in the car.
Right.
So they can take you out of the car, put you in the other car, they can do a search, you know.
Right.
We also do inventory searches. Now, an inventory search is when, if let's say that you're driving a car that's it's got the tags have expired, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And now we call the highway patrol. They have to come out, you know, and excuse me, not the highway patrol. We call the towing company.
Okay.
We have to do what we call a CHP 180, which is a form that we fill out that does an inventory of everything in the car before that tow truck driver takes it away.
Right.
That means we got to do a search of the car.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Because we don't want later on for somebody to claim, hey, I had my stereo system in there, and now my stereo system is missing.
Okay.
And we released the car over to the towing agency.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now the issue becomes, well, where is the stereo?
Right.
So we create this form where we check off all of these different things. Even if that stereo system is built in, we still check off stereo system.
Okay.
We check off this. We check off that. You know, so there's a whole list of things that we check off. And anything that's extra that we find in there, like a briefcase as an example, we'll mark, you know, in the other section, we'll mark briefcase, this and that.
Right.
You know, from that perspective.
Hey, do you recommend, like when you being pulled over, let's say you're on the way to the club, you got four people in the car, and the windows are tinted kind of dark in the back, legally tinted, you know what I'm saying, it's at night. Would you recommend rolling down those windows, too?
Man, it's a safe thing to do.
Right.
But let me tell you something. I pulled over one night. It was Valentine's Day, and Valentine's fell on a Saturday.
Right.
And I stopped this one car. Man, they had at least 8 young ladies in that car all piled in there, man. Now, that's overloading the vehicle.
Right.
And they were heading out to some club somewhere.
Wow.
Tell me, it's an overloaded vehicle. You can't ride with this many people in the vehicle.
Right.
So I had to have them all get out. Okay?
Right.
Man, when I put that across the air, I stopped such and such, you know, 10 young ladies in here, you know, going out, and we're going to need, man, I'm telling you, the backup cars came from everywhere. Like, okay, guys, calm down. But it was overloaded vehicles.
It's like I was working security at a pool party one time, and I knew it was about to be shut down because all the male neighbors came out front. And so I knew the police was pulling up any minute to shut down the pool party.
Hey, those are the calls that make the evening go by quicker, man.
But number 10.
Go ahead.
If you are not sure that the person is a police officer, ask for some form of identification. Now, that one, there's a story. My mom was actually one time, she was driving down the street on the way home from work. She might have did an illegal lane change. And an unidentified car started chasing her, blowing the horn, yelling at her to pull over. And she sped away. Like, I don't know who this is. You know what I mean? It was it wasn't a marked vehicle. And then it turned out that it was an officer on the way home from work, and she cut him off, and he was upset about it. You know what I mean? He started yelling, I'm a cop, and this and that. This really happened. You know
what
I mean?
Well, he may have been a cop, but he's an off-duty police officer under those circumstances.
Right. So there's nothing wrong. I mean, those are very, very, very rare. You know what I mean? In that instance, but that's just one that could kind of fit number 10.
Well, then there we go, you guys. Those are some good safety tips for everybody, quite frankly. So try and stick with them. But because we've got some information on this, people asked about it. There it is.
I think this one from, like I said, for minorities, this is for like our young teenagers that just got the car, you know, between 16 to 22. You know what I mean? This is just something that you just want to hone in with them. And you know what I mean?
It'll be safer. Safety. The interactions will be safer, et cetera.
Right.
Well, Jamal, let's move on and let's talk about this boogaloo. This boogaloo anti-government movement that's out there now. And you were the one that actually brought this to my attention.
Yeah, I did.
You know, because I'm like, he's like, Dad, you know about the boogaloo movement? I'm like, the what? Boogaloo?
The boogaloo boys.
You know, the boogaloo boys. You know, so this, you know, I did a little research on that because I made it, you know, I was kind of curious about it. And this group called the Boogaloo Group, or the Boogaloo Boys, they have things online. Now, they started emerging, just to let the listeners know, they started emerging last year in 2019. So this is a relatively new group, so to speak.
Right.
You know, so it's an anti-government movement that advocates for a violent uprising targeting liberal political opponents and law enforcement, and has moved from the fringes of the internet into the mainstream and surged onto social media in recent months. Now, the movement wants a second civil war organized around the term boogaloo, which includes groups on mainstream internet platforms such as Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, as well as on the fringe websites, including 4chan. So this group is out there. And, you know, I said in my other trainings that I do, there's 1,020 hate groups in this country.
Wow.
All right, 1,020. California is actually the leading state with the most hate groups, if you can believe that one.
I could believe it.
But now this one on Boogaloo here, Jamal. So how did this, I think you had some information, how did these guys start? Where did this come from?
You know, I'm not sure how they started, but I know that they're like a, you know, they're like an anti-everything, anti-liberal, anti anything that goes against their beliefs, they're trying to take a stand on. And I think some of it too about where it comes in with the anti-law enforcement, like these laws being passed that your guns could be restricted and
that's right,
things like that. And they're
why they're emerging.
They're emerging from that standpoint. So if there's ever a case where, you know, laws get passed where the guns get confiscated, they're not going out without a fight, and that's kind of their stance on that.
Well, you know, we've talked about on the air, we've talked a number of times about the Second Amendment rights and things of that nature.
People are very passionate about
that. They're very passionate about it. These guys have put out more than 100 million social media posts and comments on this by this group. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so these guys are really serious. There's no doubt about it. Researchers and law enforcement officials at various levels have issued warnings about this growing threat. And they're considered, by the way, for the listeners, they're considered a domestic terrorist group at this point, you know, or extremists. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Okay, that they're extremists.
I mean, they're walking around with vests on and weapons and things like that. They even got their own patch to identify who they are.
Yep, it's called the Boogaloo Boys. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, why the Boogaloo Boys, I don't know. Like, I saw, they got it from the movie Breakdancer 2, Electric Boogaloo, which I don't know why they call themselves the Boogaloo Boys. I'm not sure. But if any of y'all listening, if y'all part of Boogaloo Boys, call us so we can ask you some questions about this, like, so we get a little detail. Like, maybe we're misrepresenting what you're saying. I don't know. But, you know, this is what we're finding out.
Look, they're also talking about a sedition. They're talking about, you know, a civil war. I mean, give me a break. Okay, right. We've got enough stuff in here about a civil war and, you know, things of that nature. You're not going to have another civil war. I can't say what you're not going to have in the future. I don't know.
Right.
But, I mean, this kind of talk is the normal, you know, that's why they call them extremists.
You know what they sound like to me, man? Just a whole bunch of drinking buddies, man, with pickup trucks.
They got together, huh? You figured that out? You figured that out, did you? You know, well, it was first noticed in 2019, all right? And these groups are on the fringes, Jamal, from gun rights and militia movements to white supremacists. They began to talk about this business about the Civil War. But it's true. They have used social media to strategize, share instructions for explosives and 3D print firearms. I mean, this is why I say that this group is a serious group for us to keep an eye out on.
Right.
You know, you know, and this stuff happens with extremism when people start talking about people's rights with guns and things of that nature. And that's why they're probably against the liberal side, because the liberals are the ones that want to do what? To restrict our guns.
Right.
You know, from that perspective. So we're going to be talking more about the Boogaloo Boys as we go along. We're going to be keeping an eye on them on any events that happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
The last thing that we want to talk about in the last minute or two here is this business about the northern borders. I mean, our borders, and this business about the coronavirus. You know, here's the deal. First of all, we need to follow what the government is saying and the CDC is saying about the coronavirus. Does it impact our borders? We got people that are coming over illegally. Yes, there is definitely a concern there for sure. All right. But we don't need to be in a panic mode about this yet. We need to follow what the CDC says, you know, regarding these things. And, you know, I got a call from a client the other day. They want to know that their employees are upset. They want to know what the employer is going to do about the coronavirus. So the client contacts me and says, hey, we got the employees. They want to know what we should do about the coronavirus. Well, the first thing I told them was the first thing is don't be going to China. Don't be going on cruises. Right. What else? What else can I say? We don't know about these things.
Right.
So they got to file for right now about the washing of your hands, coughing into your elbow, you know, things of that nature.
Right.
You know, so there's not really much that we could say. Some people wrote in asking about this. I wanted to give that little quick blurb right there. It's another reason why we need to do what we got to do at our borders. Because it's a known fact that we do have people from China that are coming up through our southern borders illegally.
Right.
And you never know what may happen. All right, you've been listening to Jim Potts and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show, but be sure to join us next week. If you would like what you heard, do us a favor and spread the word. Until then, be safe out there, but more importantly, be a reluctant victim. Until next week, guys.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.